John chapter number 2. We're going to look at four things a growing Christian must do. Four things a growing Christian must do. Now, let me just say this to you. A lot of people say they're interested in growing, but they're not. And when I say that, doing anything, how many of you are interested in losing weight? Do not raise your hand. Okay? But you're interested in losing weight, but and you say, I'm going to lose weight, but how many of us actually follow through with that? You know, or I'm going to start exercising. I'm going to start running or walking or lifting weights or whatever it is. And we don't really follow through with that. It doesn't mean we're evil people. It just means it has to become a priority in our lives. And I'm afraid that many times we say, well, we assume that I'm a growing Christian because I come to church. But a growing Christian has got four things in this passage, in this book, that require us to do before we can grow regularly and consistently in Christ. And the goal is that, now keep in mind, the goal is this. Take your Bible and keep your finger in 1 John. Turn to Titus. Turn to Titus. A few books back, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, Titus chapter 2. Notice with me, if you would, in verse 1. Now, what I'm going to try to do this morning is give you some sound doctrine. Greek word for sound is to repair that which is broken, to strengthen that which you have. So, if you are not growing, then you're broken and you want to start growing. If you are growing, I want to encourage you to pick up the pace. Okay, now listen, Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou, now these are Paul's words to Titus, a young pastor. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, healthy teaching. Now watch. That for this purpose, that the aged men, and we're going to skip down to verse number 3, and the aged women likewise. Notice verse 4. So it's aged men and aged women. Now, let me pause for a minute. How many of you think you're in that group? It is not defined. Now, the Platinum Club we started, and does anybody know the qualification for getting in the Platinum Club? That's the group of people in our church that are retired or would like to be retired. That's from 3-year-olds and up, I think, okay? So what I'm trying to say to you is that this passage says the aged men, I don't know what that age is. Maybe that's 45. Maybe that's 40. Maybe that's, I think it's two things. I think it's age and it's length of salvation. So if you've been saved for 20 years, you're probably aged in spirituality. Or should be. But notice the purpose. Aged men, aged women. Notice verse 4. That they may teach the young men or young women. And the young men, notice this, verse 6. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Let them be serious-minded about spiritual things. So the older we are in Christ or age, we should be able to teach the other young people below us. Now, I'm concerned that our churches are not like that. The older we get, we're looking forward to relaxing, retirement, traveling, doing nothing. We don't pass out tracts. We don't talk to people about the Lord. We're not an example of the Lord. We're not in making a genuine effort to make an eternal difference. And to remind you of this, you will not take your vacation home to heaven with you. You will not take your 401k with you. You will only take people. So you certainly want to spend time on your own family to make sure they're growing in the Lord. And number two, you want to take time with the people around you that you see because you have a burden for them. And I'm just telling you, folks, that's the reason mission is so important to me and to our church, is because we can't go overseas. God has not called us to go overseas yet. He might call you, but what do we do with people that are in New Guinea or Fiji or New Zealand or in Botswana? Or what are we going to do with those folks? Or in Ukraine? Do we just ignore them and say, that's not my problem? No. So we have to have a burden for people all over the world. Well, I can't go there, but I can pray this morning. I'm looking forward to one of our missionaries is coming back in Cambodia. We flew over and built a building for them in one of our mission trips. And they gave me a list of people to pray for. They said, we're burdened about these people. So I still pray for them, and they're coming back this summer. This morning, my devotion said, Lord, I'm so excited about talking to the Strots about, I want to know if Sunita and Bunty and got a chance to see their parents saved. I want to know if, and then go down the list. Because it's a burden on my heart, even though I've never met those people. So the older we get in Christ, the more burden we get for people of need that are lost. And so that ought to be a priority for every one of us, not just pastors. You want to be praying for people to get to heaven. When you get to heaven and some you've been praying for someone that you want to see them saved, all of a sudden you stand in heaven and they come up to you and say, thank you for praying for me, Brother Sepha. Thank you, Brother Eddie, for praying for me to get saved. I have no words to say thank you. Thank you, Brother Sonny, for sending that missionary to my home in Malawi. So what I'm trying to say is that spiritual maturity is prioritizing your life about things that matter and teaching it to people that are interested below us. Now, follow back over with me to 1 John chapter 4. So we see that a growing Christian is to grow not for themselves. Oh, yes, for our Christ and for others. That's our goal. Now, if you'll take the two greatest commands in Scripture, what are they? Two greatest commands in Scripture. Number one, love the Lord thy God with all my heart. Number two, love neighbor as yourself. It's the Lord and others. And so a Christian is to live for the Lord. I want to put him first in my life. That builds us and others. That's the way we give out, we share, and we make a difference. That would be people at work. There'd be people everywhere. So now let's go through the four things a growing Christian has in their life. Number one, notice if you would, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Okay? Keep in mind, we're talking about some priorities in your life. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, it's an imperative mood. You don't love the world. It's like kind of pointing it out to us. It's important. You don't love the world. Don't love the things of the world. But Pastor, you know, I need a new suit. I need a new car. I need a new mower. I need a new, he says, well, just don't put your heart into it. If you go outside in your garage and you sleep with your new mower, you got a problem, okay? You're supposed to love the Lord first. And then, as you begin to put that priority in your life, it filters down to say, I don't want to have my heart in the world. Because you know what? You're taking nothing with you. There's no U-Hauls behind the hearse. None. But I want you to know this. You can take people. Now, all I'm saying to you is, he says, love not the world. And then he filters down and says, or the things of the world. Now, you men, I think you ought to buy gifts for your wife. I mean, flowers are things of the world. A nice necklace is a thing of the world. A new dress, things of the world. A new vehicle, things of the world. But your heart can't be, your whole life is geared up to providing for your family only so that they can have things that you want them to have. The things of this world pass away. So love not the world. Do not let your desires take over the love of God. The love of God is who we put first in our life. Lord, I do love you. And so what does that mean now? Okay, notice number two. Number one, we're commanded not to love the world. Number two, notice this. We must abide in him. Look at verse 28. And now, little children, he calls us little children because we're not yet mature like we ought to be. This young church here. You want to make sure your people that are new in Christ, growing in Christ. Notice if you would, over in verse number If you would notice verse number 1 of chapter 2. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He's reminding them, look, whenever you make a mistake, Jesus Christ is in heaven pulling for you. He'll forgive you if you ask him. That's reading verse 9. Look at it. In verse 9 of chapter 1. If we, Christians, confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me ask you a question. Anybody here, someone ever done something to you and you held on to it and didn't forgive them immediately? Jesus never does that. It's forgiven immediately. That's our example. Well, they hurt me. We don't hurt Jesus. I mean, he walks through heaven with scars on his forehead and nail prints in his hand, nail prints in his feet. And when we don't honor him, respect him, I'm sure that hurts. And he says, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful to forgive it. That's our example. Now, these are young Christians. Notice in verse number 28. And now, little children, abide in him. Okay? Now, keep in mind, we're talking about priorities. The word abide in the original text is the word minnow. It means to continually be in front of or continually be present. So in other words, he said, I want you to continually be present before me. I want you to remain with me. I want you to continually hang around me. That's your desire. So our priorities are not to love the things of the world, but to continually hang around him. Why? He gives us a purpose. Look in verse 28. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed. You know, the Bible says in Revelation 21 that God's going to wipe away tears from our eyes. That's after we've been in heaven. Now, what's before that? Great white throne. All the sinners are cast into hell. That's going to affect our hearts. Especially if it was a neighbor that we never tried to get to church. We never tried to make a difference with. Especially if it's somebody we work with sitting right beside us and, the rule can't talk to people about religion, so you made no effort. Hey, could I take you out to lunch? And you go off to Chick-fil-A and buy them lunch and you get a chance to share the gospel with them. Or you invite them over to a family picnic and you get a chance to sit down and 10 minutes share the gospel with them. Notice what he says, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. Oh, it's my Savior, but not, oh, it's my Savior. I didn't do right. So he said, remain in his presence. Abide in him. That's my priority. So look, a part of abiding in him is getting up in the mornings and spend some time with him, reading his word, trying to figure out the way he wants us to live and talk with him and pray with him and pray for others and pray for your own heart. Ask him to forgive you of the sins you've committed. Remember, the goal is to be in his presence, to remain in this life. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew 6. I want to see this verse. Matthew 6. Notice with me, if you would, Matthew 6. Look with me, if you would. Verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, when you give money to church, do not sound a trumpet before thee. Notice, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues. Verse 2, they have their reward. Now keep in mind, that's giving money, which you should do for the wrong reason. You said your reward is now. It's not in heaven. Now follow with me. Verse 3, when thou doest thine alms, when you help someone out, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Don't go tell everybody, hey, well, I just helped somebody over here and I just helped this person over here. Notice if you would. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. In other words, they want attention for their prayers. So he said, look, don't do those things. Now, this is what he says. I want you to abide in me. This is the way you do it. Notice in verse number 6. But thou, when thou prayest. Now keep in mind, we're talking about rewards in heaven. We're talking about you remain with him. So when you see him, you have confidence. So notice what he says in verse number 5, the last phrase. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He said it three times. Anything you and I do to get the praise of man, we just got our reward. So when we see the Lord, we know we didn't do things for his sake. We didn't remain in his presence like we ought to have. We wanted attention for him to ourselves. And so as a result, he said, you've already gotten your reward. So when you see me, you got nothing. But you're going to heaven. Now notice, if you would, in verse number 6. But thou, you as my children, growing in me, know, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. So you know what he's saying? You've got to have some private time with you and the Lord, you and me. I want you to remain with me. You look at some of the great Christians. Daniel, he goes to his house, he opens up his windows. Now, I like to, Janet and I this morning, we had our devotions outside. I normally sit inside, but if it's a pretty day, you know, I'd love to sit outside when it's quiet. And so I normally sit inside in our little sitting room. They have a little couch. And so I'll sit there and spend my time with the Lord. And today I got up and I saw the coffee she had gotten for me sitting there and my drink, but I didn't see her. So I went through the whole house and said, hey, honey, are you any place in here? No comment. I said, I wonder where she went. Looked outside. She's having her devotions out there. So I went out. We sat down. I don't know that we said much, but we talked to the Lord. Lord, just you and I. We talked. Sitting this close to each other. She's in one chair. I'm in another. When thou enter thy closet, it's between you and the Lord. He says, you cannot be a growing Christian unless you remain with me. Unless you remain in my presence. So notice he says, and pray to thy Father which is in secret. And notice this. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So when you get to heaven, I got rewards for you. Everybody's going to see it. Even in this life, I'm going to reward you. But if you and I do things for the wrong motivation, he said, you just got your reward. There's nothing in heaven for you. Now notice, if you would, in verse number, let's go back over to our original text. And let's go back over to 1 John. And I want you to see 1 John, if you would. Look in verse number 28. And now, little children, abide in him. Remain in him. So when is it that you and I take time out of our day to say, Lord, I just want to take a little time. I want to remain in your presence for a while. I want to be with you. And then during the day, we're thinking about him some. Now, this is my challenge. Let's share it with you. I get busy. I'm thinking about this and getting phone calls. And it may be 1 o'clock before I even, you know, really sit down and say, Lord, now every once in a while when it's a problem, I'll say, Lord, could you help with this? Lord, but I rarely take time during the day, and this is what I'm working on, to just take 5 minutes, pull away and say, Lord, I just want to tell you thank you for being my Savior. But I want to thank you for, again, letting me get up this morning and have an opportunity to serve you. Lord, I want to handle this day the way you want me to. I want to remain in his presence. And now, little children, abide in me, abide in him, that when he shall appear, when I see the Lord, I want to see the Lord and say, Lord, I tried my best to love you and serve you. I want to have confidence. Now, how can a sinner have confidence? I'm telling you, that's hard. You have to confess your sin and purpose not to sin. Now, notice number 3. Look here. Number 1, commanded not to love the world. Don't let your love be in the world and the things of the world. Let your love be on Christ. Number 2, we must want to be in his presence. You've got to adjust your world and your life so that you're like Daniel. 3 times a day, he opened up his windows and he prayed and talked with the Lord. He spent some time with the Lord. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 9, I love the passage. He said, the angel looks at Daniel and says, Daniel, you're greatly beloved. I want to know, how many of you, you'd like to be very rich or very well retired
are greatly loved by the God of heaven. It's not either or. Job had both. Abraham had both. Solomon at the beginning of his life had both. But you have to remain in his presence. He has to be first in your life. And folks, if we don't get to that point and teach the young couples growing up in our church, our future is hopeless. Because people are not going to hear about the goodness of our God. They're not going to know how wonderful he is. They're not going to know that he can take a piece of property and provide it for us when there's no possible way to see that it can get done. We need to share with our children the miracles that God does in our lives. I was talking to someone this morning that, you know, got a new job, and they said, you know, I've never really gone out and looked for a job. Somebody told me about this, put my name in or whatever. But you know, the new job, it's more money. It is better working conditions. I stay at home all the time. It is closer. The main office is, and you know, check. And I didn't ask for it. The Lord says, I'll openly reward you if you abide in me. Now, notice the next parts. Look here in John chapter 3, verse 3. Notice what he says. Verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, sons and daughters of God. We are right God's children right now. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know what we're going to look like in heaven. We know we're going to have a perfect body, but we don't know if we're going to be like Christ, if we're going to have our own image. It's going to be in his image, but we're going to have our own, shadow of him. But notice he says, but we know that when he shall appear, we should be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And notice he says this, and every man that hath this hope in him. Do you realize every Christian is looking forward to when Christ comes? We're looking forward to when we die and we're going to see him. It's one way or the other. And I'm planning for it. We plan for retirement. Hey, how many people in America, they say most Americans are not ready for retirement. And most Christians are not ready to see Jesus. But that doesn't mean we can't change it and start now. Notice what he says. Look here. Verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him. What hope? The hope of seeing Jesus Christ face to face. Now, if you've gotten up regularly in the morning, you spent time with the Lord, and you've adjusted your schedule like Daniel, and you thought of the Lord, the Bible says, be in prayer all the time. How can you do that? You're constantly thinking about the Lord. You're doing your job. You're doing a great job with what you do, but you're relying upon the strength of the Lord. Lord, you help me figure this out. Lord, would you help me as I make this next phone call, Lord? It's not like I can do it myself, but Lord, I need your help all day long. I want to do a good job, a heavenly job all day. And so we learn to live in his presence, to abide in him. And then notice what he says in verse number 3. Every man that had this hope in him purifieth himself. Now, original word hagiazo is to make yourself clean. It's to be what the Bible says. Notice he says purifieth himself. You're constantly aware of when you need to ask the Lord to forgive you. How many of you are aware when you need to take a shower? We all are. I mean, this yesterday, how many of you are aware it was really hot yesterday? Okay, if you were outside, you probably said, wow, that is sticky. Anybody here like that? Yeah, okay, so it's a little sticky. So when I go home, well, I'm going to get me a shower. I'm going to go to bed clean. I'm going to get me a shower. Now, you know, I don't. If I'm outside working in the yard, taking the mower and the clippings are blowing all over me, or worse yet, if I'm using a weed eater. Now, how many have ever tried to use a weed eater and stay clean? I mean, you got your goggles on, your headphones, ear muffs on. And then you look at your legs, it looks like you rolled with glue first and then grass next. I mean, it's all up on your legs. And so you can go in and say, well, I know I need a shower, but I'm not going to get one. And you wonder why everybody's in the other room. Well, you know, it's that way with us in our life. Sometimes we got flaws in our life. We wonder why everybody else is kind of, they're friendly to us, but, you know, they don't hang around us much. And spiritually, they don't listen to us. When that happens, it's time to purify yourself. Did you know it's not Pastor Pittman's job to go up to my sweet wife and say, Janet, you need to purify yourself. You need to clean up yourself. As every Christian, it's your job, now listen, to be in the Lord's presence enough to where it's obvious to your heart, I need to fix this. I need to change this. I need to ask the Lord to forgive me for that. You purify yourself because of the hope. One of these days, it's not a maybe, it's the dream. The dream that I'm going to see Jesus Christ, and I know it's going to happen either in death or in rapture. So I want to be pure when I see Him. So I want to make sure every time I stay clean. How many of you in the last 2 years washed your hands more than you ever washed them in your life? See your hands. Okay. Why? Because you just wanted to keep the germs off, you know? I mean, you're so paranoid, and during all this COVID stuff, you're paranoid. You know, you kept a mask on and didn't like it. But you know, when you shake somebody's hands and you, well, let me ask this question. You're sitting here and somebody goes, and they come and say, hey, how are you doing? I don't understand why you're laughing. But we allow things in our life, and then we come back and say, Lord, I want to talk to you. And the Lord says, hey, you need to clean up first. Purifying himself. And notice the example. Even as he is pure. It's not Pastor Pittman. Don't use me as the example of purity, because he says, as Christ is. I got my issues. You got your issues. I'm saying, Lord, help me to get rid of my issues. Lord, help me to work at it. And it's just like my yard. You know, I spend money on my yard. I have them go out there and spray that thing. And every once in a while, I go out there and, oh, there's a weed. And I pull that weed up. And then next week, I go out there. Where did that weed come from? I want to shoot all the birds. I'm making a no-fly zone on my property, the 3 acres I got. Because every week, I go out there and I see another weed. And I just sprayed. I don't understand it. Our hearts are just like that yard. You get it all fixed, it looks beautiful, and you say, oh, it's beautiful. What is that? Now, the sprayer that does my yard, years ago, when Susan was so ill, I used to spray my own yard, but I didn't have time to take care of her. So I found somebody that could spray the yard, and there was one weed in my yard that I couldn't figure out. And it just kept growing, but I'd spray it and slow it down, but I couldn't stop it. And a lot of Christians got some weeds in their life, and they slow it down, but they don't stop it. And I went to the home show and found somebody. He said, well, I can get rid of them. I said, I got 1 week. Took a picture. He said, I can get rid of them. And a year and a half later, still there. I said, okay, I got to find somebody else. Found this next guy. He says, well, I know what that. He called the name of the weed. So I'll get rid of it with you. Just a couple weeks. I said, okay, come on out. A little more cost. And that's the problem. Christians, we don't want to pay the cost. So he comes out and he sprays it. And I said, hey, my yard's white. I got white all over it. And he says, those are those weeds you talked about. He said, they turn white and die. I said, it looks terrible. He said, give it 3 weeks. 3 weeks, immaculate. Every one of those weeds were gone. I said, man, now you know what? Listen very carefully. He knew what ingredients would kill that weed. I didn't. But in life, you can't come to me and say, Pastor, kill the weeds in my life. The Lord Jesus says, let a man purify himself. What that means is you might come to me and I'll say, look, here's the ingredients, and I'll take you to Scripture, but you got to be the one to say, I got to get rid of that weed and keep it out. So if it's anger, if it's bitterness, or if it's lustfulness, or if it's the things of this world that you really have a heart set on, you've got to say, oh, there's a weed, I've got to get rid of that. And you yourself are responsible to the God of heaven, your Savior, that loves you more than the world. And he says, if you abide in me, you can see me with confidence. Now, I want you to know something. That's what I'm looking for. It's to see the Lord with confidence. Not my confidence, but to know I did my best for him. For the Holy Spirit to give me peace in my heart to say, you got rid of the weed. I'm proud of you. Oh, there's another one over there. I'll get rid of that one too. You know my greatest frustration? Those weeds. They pop up. Now my yard looks nice to everybody. They come by and say, oh, your yard looks nice. But you know what? I said, look over there. Because I'm trying to make it perfect. Because I want to be perfect in the Lord. I want that confidence when I see him that he says, I'm proud of you, son. I'm living for two words. What are they? Two words in my whole life. Well done. But he has to be first. And you got to say, I got to purify myself. Now notice this last thing. Look here. We are to be, notice verse 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 11. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. Okay? Now, let me give you the final piece of good doctrine. This is the message I've been teaching all along. The fruit of all of these things, the fruit of not loving the world and the things of the world, the fruit of abiding in him day by day by day, and the desire to see him with confidence and with joy, and to not him be disappointed with me at all. The fruit of all that is that we're going to be freed up to look at other people. And notice what he says. This is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. I want to love the souls of Africans. I want to love the souls of homosexuals. I want to love the souls of the bitter. I want to love the souls of those hurt. I want to love the soul and the people everywhere. Christians that are struggling, I want to love them. So that's the reason why there are people that come to me and I got this weed, and I would try to give them the scriptures and help them, and they get it all, pull that weed out, and they learn how to. Does anybody know the secret to getting rid of weeds in your life? Psalm 119:9-11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we take God's word, we remind ourselves, and whenever that sin comes up, we begin to confess it and say, Lord, help me. And I know what the Lord says about it. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not lust. So that the words of my Father in heaven are there. So when the thought comes in, I remind myself of what the Lord said about it. And it gives me strength to say no. And then the more I yield the Holy Spirit, the stronger I get. Two Indians, both had dogs. And the Indian says, you know, I figured out something. Excuse me, one Indian had two dogs. He talked to another Indian. He said, I figured out which dog is the strongest. He says, well, that one looks the strongest. He said, I figured out which dog is the strongest. He said, which one? He said, it's not the black and the white. It's not necessarily the height and the strength. It is which one I feed the most. Because in time, the one I feed the most gets stronger and stronger, healthier and healthier. If I don't feed the other one, it gets weaker and it can't hold up. Which do you feed? Your flesh or your spirit for God? It's our choice. Abide in him, that when you see him, you may have confidence. Let's bow for a prayer. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray that you'd help us to learn. Lord, you'd give us the desire to have those four things in our life. Lord Jesus, help me to have those four things. Lord, desperately I want to hear those two words. All in my heart, Lord, well done, son. In your name we pray. Amen.